AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
Come on, sir. No.
Dave, you're right.
What the fuck? Yeah, good, just hit record. Yeah, what? Busy.
Oh.
What?
Just hit record. Yeah. But shit. I'm all right. Thank you for asking, Ricky.
That's all right. I'm just checking in on, you know, on mates and stuff. Yeah. Seeing that they're all right.
Are you, I'm in a dungeon in Manchester.
Have you finished?
Yeah.
All right, can I introduce the podcast, please?
Yeah, go on.
All right, it's the Fighting Cock. It's the Fighting Cock podcast, episode 30, season... Is it 30? Is it 31? One or the other. It's 30 or 31, season 12 of the Fighting Cock podcast, joined by David Alfie Ward. How you doing, mate?
Hello. Yeah, very well. Ricky just asked me, actually, so it's fine.
I did hear that. It was boring then, and it's boring now. Ricky, how are you, right, mate? Oh, yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, good.
Just a quick reminder that tickets are available for the Fighting Cock Social. They're on sale right now. Check our pinned tweet or look for the yellow banner on thefightingcock.co.uk. Buy your tickets a fiver. But if Harry Kane scores at any time during the game, Heineken... doesn't matter. They're going to buy us a pint. Everybody in the venue is going to get a pint for free if Harry Kane scores. So if Harry Kane scores at this event and you've paid your fiver to be there, then it's practically free. In fact, you're £2 up because it's like £7 a pint, isn't it, in London at the moment? Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's mad, isn't it?
It is mad. So come and watch Spurs fucking slap AC Milan. Like, they're shipping goals left, right and centre, AC Milan. Nothing to worry about. Come watch them slap them in Milan. I know it's Valentine's Day, but fucking break up with your missus. Like, be a bloke, do the right thing, do what you want to do.
What's the boozer?
It's the Temple Brewhouse in Temple in London. Yeah, get involved, Dave. You've got something just going on as well, haven't you?
Yeah, it's for those who can't make the social, for those who are travelling out to Milan, I'm putting a daytime show on for the travelling supporters. I've done this before in Amsterdam, that famous night. Me and Carl Donnelly did a show, and I'm doing it again. I'm bringing another Spurs sporting comedian out, a guy called Tom Glover, and we're going to be out there on a day. So if you're looking for something to do, a place to meet up with your friends, or if you're traveling, you know, just looking for an hour's worth of comedy and entertainment before the big game, we're doing a show, so come down if you're going to be out in Milan.
There is that period when you're on a away day in Europe where there's about a 3 hour period in the afternoon where it's just like you're getting smashed, but it's like limbo, and I think actually filling that period of limbo with comedy and obviously more beer, What a wonderful thing to do. How do people get tickets, Dave?
They can. I'll tweet out the links and stuff. And if you'd be so kind to put the ticket link in the bio of the episode as well.
Yep.
And but yeah, just follow me. You can go to the page. It's called Under the Lights. So it's an event that we're going to do in for most English football fans. But it started with Tottenham. It's going to end with Tottenham. Tottenham's our bread and butter. And yeah, come out and support us. And do you know what? We did it before. When we did it in Amsterdam, the best thing about it was that people are like turn up with solo tickets because they traveled out there on their own.
Yeah.
And then we sat them on tables, you know, next to other fans. And then they left the venue with those fans to go and watch the game with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not everyone always travels in big groups. Some people go on their own, they're retired, or they can only get one ticket to the game. So if it's something different, like you said, it kills that limbo. Just come and sit, like come and watch some comedy, you know, chill out. You never know what the weather's going to be like in Milan. It might be pissing down.
That's a great shout, actually. The fact if you're going to the game and you're on your own or there's just two of you and you just want to meet more Spurs fans, and just like, you know, because that's what, like, travelling with Spurs and any club, whoever, you know, people support, obviously everyone listens to Spurs. But if you, you know, when you're travelling away, the club binds everybody. And if there's one place where you can all go, watch some comedy and then, you know, make some new friends and make some new mates and watch, you know, go to the game together. Because I guarantee, like, in a San Siro, it's very loose about who's sitting where. And so if you meet some mates through Davey's gig, then chances are you'll be able to watch football together and be a big group of you rather than one or two.
Yeah, 100%. Be great to have some of you down there. Like, you know, I know, you know, you're doing a social for people that can't travel, but if you are traveling, you're out there in Milan, if you proper hate your girlfriend and you're like, do you know what? I'm not even just going to the social. I'm actually going to Milan, yeah, a romantic Italian city on, you know, on my own, or just me and my mates, fucking Phil from Spurs. Then, come down and, you know, let's all sing about how we'd rather be watching Tottenham than with our girlfriends together.
You can stick your red roses up your ass because I love Tottenham more than you.
100%. I'm going to end and I'm going to begin and end the show with that.
Dave, so just so if people want to find out and get these tickets, do they just go to, you can see our pinned tweet, but also follow you at David Alfie Ward on Twitter.
Yeah, David Alfie Ward, or the events page is UTL Comedy, or on Instagram it's Under the Lights Comedy.
All right, beautiful.
Just find it there.
Wicked. One thing we didn't talk, I think it happened before the last podcast, but one thing we didn't talk about, Ricky, was Sol Campbell asking for a clean slate. Did you see this?
I did see it, yeah.
So he was saying, I've had enough of being abused. Can you lot just sort of leave it now? It was kind of like, I just want, like, This impacts me. Can you sort of leave me alone? Like, it's affecting, you know, my mental health or whatever it is.
Still water under the bridge, mate. You know, it wasn't that bad, was it?
Like, fucking, he hasn't even... He didn't even say sorry in that. He didn't say, oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Like, I realised what I did was terrible and I appreciate how you feel about me. But can we just let this go now? Because I made a mistake and people make mistakes. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say, like, no, like going to Man United, okay, going to Arsenal, I've made a massive mistake here. He's just saying, yeah, do you remember all that shit you got for me leaving your club and joining your main rivals, right? And how that made you feel and how that created doubt in your relationship with the players that you have forever. All that stuff. Oh, yeah, but don't worry about that. Like, fuck off. This is your cross. You got
totally.
This is your burden. This is what you do. Your actions and consequence. Fuck exactly around, that. Find out. So no, we won't be wiping the slate clean, Sol Campbell.
Yeah, exactly that, man. Like, and as well, can you remember when he had that interview and the presenter was really pressing him, saying, "Will you be at Tottenham next season?" or something to those words. And he had this little grin and he was like, yeah, yeah, I will. But he left Tottenham on a free to go to our most hated rivals. Like, I don't think it gets any worse than that, really.
No, not in footballing terms.
Not in footballing terms, no.
But even as life choices as well, that's pretty low. That's pretty scummy.
Yeah, completely.
Ricky, if he said... I'm so sorry. I realise what I did was terrible. And if I had to make the choice again, I would never have done what I did. I think it would go away.
Do you?
I do. I think it would go away. If he said, look, I made a horrendous decision. I was young. I was stupid. And I didn't realise the gravity of my actions. I would probably go, all right, well, I'm never going to sing Jelly and Ice Cream again. Right? I might not...
Yeah, I can.
But he didn't say that. He just said, "Can you leave me alone?"
I can forgive, but not forget. Do you know what? Most people I can forgive, but not forget.
Pol Pot.
But no. in all of these, it will actually solve. No, I won't forgive either, and I won't forget, and it will.
Would you still sing Jelly and Ice Cream?
For me personally, I don't sing that because it's a bit. Goes a bit too far.
A bit wet, you're a bit wet. That's your problem.
I wish everything bad to happen, but wishing death on another human is just
it's not wishing death; it's just celebrating death.
Celebrating.
My brother thinks that he came up with the jelly and ice cream line. He thinks it came from him, that he made that up.
Maybe it did.
Davey, Pedro Porro finally signs. He was our main sort of target through the transfer window. Paratici said that they've been looking at him from the summer. We wanted to buy him in the summer. We've managed to get it over the line despite Sporting being absolute cunts about it. What do you make of the signing? Are you excited to see what he can do?
Yeah, well, I was in Sporting when they beat us 2-0, and I remember thinking at the time, and I know, listen, I'm not going to sit here and be like, because I thought at the time, fuck me, he can play, and he was like tearing us to shreds down that side, and I thought I'd love him, but then it's not like we've never been burnt by that before. Do you remember when Aurelio Gomez was saving all those penalties for Piers, and
Ricky were in a pub in North London watching that. Watching him,
and we were like, this is the best goalkeeper in the world, and then you get linked with him and you're like, we're going to sign the best goalkeeper in the world, and then he just drops one in and whenever he fucking feels like it.
His nickname was the Octopus as well. We're signing a goalkeeper called the Octopus. Fucking hell, buzzing for that.
In his defence, he would make some of the best saves I've ever witnessed. But the most basic stuff, like stuff that's just down the channel straight at him, would somehow end up in the goal. And you're like, how have you done that? And
I think he's my favourite cult Spurs player. by I say cult player, I mean they're not very good. Like Stefan Freund, for example, would be a cult player. Like, he wasn't very good, but he had moments where he was insane. I remember we were playing Arsenal. I think we won the game 2-1, but we were getting absolutely, they were all over us for the first final 10 minutes. Van Persie had two opportunities, and he pulled out three world-class saves that most goalkeepers couldn't. The thing with Hilario Gomez...
Yeah.
The thing with him is that he could do things that most keepers couldn't. His shot saving abilities were in the top 1% of all goalkeepers I've ever watched, ever. But if the ball rolled at him at a snail's pace, I was convinced it was going in. And that, sometimes you just got to go,
sorry, I know I didn't answer the question about Porro. We're just now talking about Aurelio Gomez. But it's true that, do you remember when we lost 4-0 at the Bernabeu and Crouch got sent off?
I was there.
Yeah,
and then I remember walking down Tottenham High Road for the return leg and thinking, I'm about to witness in the most Spurs thing ever, I remember thinking, I'm about to witness the most glory, glory of glory, glory nights, thinking we were going to do Real Madrid 5-0.
100%.
And then Gomez, do you remember Gomez, Ronaldo shot from about 30 yards, went straight at him, and it went in.
And
he's like, you fucking dickhead.
And also, talking about like away trips, he got sent off against Inter Milan on that same
Champions
League. When we went down to 10 men, that was him that got sent off. Fucking dickhead. I'd love to interview him though. I'd love to interview him about his time as Spurs. Like, very rarely if we had a goalkeeper where we would sing his name. Hilario Gomez probably was as popular as Paul Robinson. Probably more.
Yeah, he was pretty popular, wasn't he?
Yeah.
We used to sing that we'd let his shag our wives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still would. Sorry, Olivia, you're going to have to shag Hilario Gomez. Who is he? Well, he used to be our goalkeeper 15 years ago. He was shit. But you've got to do it because we sung it. I'm a man of my word. Get in there. Yes, so Pedro Porro, he looks like like a quality signing. Do you know what I like most about it and all the media that's coming out is how buzzing he seems to be here. Like, he seems like he's over the moon, doesn't he, Rick?
Yeah, yeah. In his little interviews, he was very, you know, people can be quite insular. Like, yeah, and just to be a bit like, I don't know, a bit embarrassed in front of the camera. But he was showboating and he was like getting involved with it. Glorious smiles, pumping the chest and stuff like that. I think, and as well, there's this bit that I think I read a quote that he's looking forward to like this weekend to play against Man City, that, you know, who he used to play with, play for. So hopefully he does get some minutes on the pitch. And it's that time to be like, you know, you sold me, you didn't play me, this is what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, City just loaning out Cancelo as well, that it's this is what you could have had, lads. Well, hopefully it'll be a bit of that.
Imagine, Dave, imagine having a football club with so much talent that you could loan out what was the best wing back probably in Europe last year because he's, you know, he's upset you. Like, they're just like, he's just gone to, what, so he's so good. And then just gone, yeah, well, Pep, they had a fallout, so you can just fuck off to Bayern. What the fuck?
When I saw that, I was like, that's not real. That's not real. And then when it happened, I thought, he's lost the plot. He's finally lost the plot. He's just given the league to Arsenal. That's what, you know, he's just thought, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to loan out one of my best players. And I know he's not had the best season. You know, I was speaking to a Man City fan comedian and said he's not had the best season. Just because he's had half a season that's not very, doesn't mean a player is shit now. You know, he was so good. And it's this oil state clubs, they can just do what they want and they just have no consequences. If we had a player like Cancelo and then on deadline day we loaned him out, can you imagine the meltdown?
What, why didn't we go in for a fucking loan deal for him? Don't go to fucking, just come and join us. Just on that, Kulusevski prop on Twitter, he says, should Porro start against City or do we gamble on another number Emerson Royale masterclass? Emerson Royale against Manchester City has been excellent. And that's not a mental statement. I'm not saying the answer to your question, I'm going to say Kulusevski, because that's your name on Twitter, is yes, 100% Porro should start. But Emerson Royale against the very biggest teams has never let us down. It's just all the other times he has. Rick, does he start Porro?
It's dependent on tactics, really, because if we are looking to attack City, we are looking to use the wing backs to get forward and to actually support our front three, then yes, I would say play him. But if we are going for a sit back, counter, play it kind of be very pragmatic, bit conservative, then I'd probably go for Royale, because as a fullback where he isn't asked to run forward and to make attacking decisions, he's great as a fullback. But as a wing back and being asked to do both roles, that's where I think he comes up short. But I would, you know, it's at Tottenham. I would love, and we've just spent a fuckload on him. I would love to see Porro start.
Yeah,
love it.
100%. What do you think about the Doherty situation, Dave? The fact that he it looked like he was going on loan and then we've just essentially mutual consent torn up the contract and he's gone to Atletico Madrid on loan. So just as a bit of a background to this, any club in the Premier League, I think it's in across Europe actually, can only have a total maximum of 8 players out on loan across Europe. So not domestically in any other league that isn't the Premier League. And we have 8 already. So Doherty wouldn't have been able to join Atletico Madrid unless we released him. A lot of clamour and sort of criticism of Daniel Levy and Enoch and I guess Paratici of saying, well, we should have been able to get money for Doherty. What do you make, Dave, of the fact that we've just let him go, released him, and he's no longer our problem? Or...
It's... it's a weird one because I don't think anyone is like, it was like the 11th hour pretty much that was like, oh, actually, we've terminated these contracts. So, and no one saw that coming. When it was a loan, everyone was like, yeah, fair enough. They have to, you know, Porro's coming in. They have to offload, like, you know, some space down the right wing. And then when it was like, there was a bit of a meltdown, weren't there, on Twitter? It was like, oh, well, this is so poor management. And I suppose, I suppose they didn't realise they'd hit their quota and then they panicked a little bit.
Of course they realised. I think they definitely realised, Dave. But it's just when they knew the situation, there's no chance that they didn't realise. But I think that they probably saw the opportunity to release Doherty. And my take on it is that while... I mean, how much money? We bought him for 11 million, 12 million 2 years ago. He's 31. If people wanted him, they'd be bidding for him. What's his value? The value is almost zero at this stage because he isn't a great Premier League fullback. He's an average Premier League fullback. If we can release him from the rest of his contract now, no further obligation to honour the rest of that contract, he goes. We get him off the books. Knowing that if we'd have kept him, that would suggest that we needed him next year. If Spurs were in a situation where we're looking above and beyond what is our current squad, then it's not. It's actually a bit of a big club mentality, I think, for him to just release him, and let him go. The same with Aurier.
I'm not against it. I think. We're going to save probably, I don't know, 2 million on wages, something like that. So you've got to factor that into it. Like you said, his selling value is, you know, diminishing over time. He's not really set the world alight. He's aging as well. And everyone's like, well, we should have kept him over Emerson because he's the better player.
Whatever. Yeah, is Emerson. He, though? Do you think Doherty's better than Emerson? Comparable.
I prefer when he plays. That's just me. I'm not saying that he's better. I don't think either of them are good enough. But I, for some reason, I prefer when he plays. Maybe I just...
I think you're right. I mean, I think you speak for most Spurs fans there.
Yeah, what about you, Rick? Go on.
I think the whole thing is... Like, I know, Flav, you were saying that they would have known how many people and they would have known the rules about the loaning and stuff like that. But it's fucking weird, though, isn't it? Like, it does feel a bit like... They have been trying to spin so many deals, and it's like, loaning. What? We're up our quota? What? Someone check that out. And it's like, fuck, the 11th hour, we're going to have to terminate his contract so that we can get him off the book.
There's no chance of that.
Mate, that's what it looks like.
I know, of course.
That's what I'm seeing. And that's what I'm judging with.
Why would they? Why would they have just said we're gonna? Why was it a loan at first? Why did they announce it as a loan? Why was all the reports coming out that it's a loan?
It was a report.
They didn't know. That's why, Dave. They didn't fucking know.
I'm on the same side as Ricky. They didn't know. Flav is just in the club's pocket, isn't it?
Yeah. That's, shit. That's what it is.
They did just pay their invoice. They just paid their invoice. To be fair.
But it is strange. But and I think. In that sense, where it looks like from the outside, for me personally, that they didn't realise or something hadn't happened there. And then also with the Porro deal, that the, that when they had to bid a certain amount by a certain time and then that deadline passed, and that's why the deal had stalled late on, that whoever it was didn't have a grasp on that. I mean, that feels a bit weird as well, that... You know, I know there's a lot of moving parts and people we're trying to get the best players and try and shift people out. But for those two things happening, I feel that we should have had a better kind of grasp on that. And then I just felt a bit sad for Doherty that I know it's players and he has no loyalty to us, whatever. But it's just kind of like 11th hour, we're going to terminate your contract. You're off to Atletico. And for him going to Atletico, you know, he's not going to the arse end of nowhere. He's going to Atletico. Like, I believe they're like top four at the moment, at least.
Gooner, anyway.
So he's going to a good club, and he's going to have a bit of sun, and it's worked out well for him. But like Dave was saying, I probably would prefer Doherty to Royale, because in the early times when he was linking up with Kulusevski down that right hand side as an attacking point. I think there is a better understanding. And also, Dyer, Kane and Doherty, like Bezzy mates, the squad harmony, then I probably would have preferred to keep Doherty. But I understand that he's 31, he's no selling value, he probably was touted around and nobody wanted him, etc.
He's 31, Emerson is 24. There is no conversation.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I get that.
There's
get
no
that.
Conversation. Like, there's one you keep and one you don't keep. And actually, like I said, getting rid of him because he's no longer use to us and removing the sentiment, I don't have any problem with that. Prattigi did an interview with Smithy. I think we called him Smithy. Adam Smith. He interviewed him at I nearly said Spurs Way then. Is that, what's the new training ground?
Hotspur Way.
Which was, it was interesting. It wasn't the response to the trust's questions. This is very much a puff piece for the club. And Prattigi has done these interviews previously after a transfer window. A couple of interesting things came out of it. One, the most interesting was that, that he said these aren't his direct quotes, but you can surmise what he said. You can surmise this from what he said. They won't buckle to fan pressure. That they have a vision, they have an idea, and they're buying players and they're building a system that will serve us in the future. What does buckling to fan pressure mean to you, Ricky? Like, what does that mean? Like, is it that I don't know the answer, and I'm asking you, and I don't know if you know the answer. What do you think it means?
They would have probably had a good sense of the mutter in the gutter on social as to say, what is everyone saying? Oh, we've got no, you know, centre left back. We ain't got an attacking player. We haven't got this. And why can't they just pay the 5 million to get Poro over the line? Like, or everything that we're all saying, that we're all kind of angry about, or whatever it might be, that they would have a good idea, a good grasp on what people are saying and what the general sentiment is about it. Now, if they were to make their deals or do anything on the whim of fans, then that strategy, whatever they're trying to do, goes out the window and they don't get anywhere. So I think it's kind of that is just to say that we know what we're doing. We have an idea, and we'll get there by doing what we're doing, really. And it's not going to be dictated to because somebody is saying that we haven't got a backup for Kane, or that we haven't filled in, you know, a good enough backup for Lloris, or whatever it might be.
You just mentioned a backup to Kane. It appears that we do have a backup to Kane in Danjuma. he mentioned about how much they rated him. When he signed, I was just like, meh. I didn't really think much about it. I didn't know anything really about him. And when I heard that he was he played for Bournemouth, I was like, oh, fuck. Ricky, I know you was like, what? A Bournemouth reject. I know exactly how your little brain works.
Exactly. Yeah, so I did. Because I mentioned it to, I think I was saying it in the WhatsApp group, and I was saying, I don't know who he is. And Wendy said, oh, don't you remember him? He used to play for Bournemouth and he'd done exceptionally well. And I was like, Bournemouth?
Yeah, so what?
Fucking drop me out, Wendy. Like, play for Bournemouth. Fuck off. Obviously, Wendy knows a lot more. And
apparently, he's quite good.
Apparently, he's quite good. And he scored on his debut. So fucking fair pay.
Did he scuff it or not?
Yeah, he scuffed it.
But so what? I don't like his celebration either. That's shit. But, you know, look.
His celebration, or was he doing a... Has he done that previous, or was he being a snake because of what he did to Everton?
No, that would work better.
That's why I thought it was... I liked it because I thought, oh, that's a proper fuck you to Everton, isn't it? That's like, I'm a little snake. Yeah. And I was like, yes, I like this geezer. But if he's just doing that all the time...
Was that a snake, was it?
Yeah, kind of looks like a snake.
He's like a cobra or something. I don't know.
Right, okay.
I think but that is his celebration. That's what he does. I'm not a big fan of it. But if I get to see it like fucking 6-7 times... before the end of the season, then I'm happy with it. And they seem to rate him £30 million option to buy, not an obligation to buy, which is different. And he also mentioned Udogie being.
Sorry, was that a £13 million?
30.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, so if we want to buy him, we have the first option. Should we, you know, if that's something we were entertaining at the end of the season. But they like him, apparently, and if they like him, they know more about football than I do, then let's see. Look, Brian Hill was fucking fuming when he signed. It's like, get me out of this fucking football club. What do I have to do? Like, it's clear that he's not there yet. Brian Hill has a relatively big future, I think. He's a good player. But what I liked about this transfer is that while Brian Hill has, you know, and Conte's talked about his qualities, that we thought that Danjuma would be better for us right now. And that's what it's all about. It's progressing and improving in the short term. And as well as, you know, working to improve these players that might be good in the future. And there's no.
Do you think Conte has a word with Hill and like says, we are getting another player. We're getting Danjuma. And if you want to go out on loan, back out on loan, I'm not going to stand in your way.
I wonder how much.
Or he says to him, I believe in you. I think you're a fantastic player. You like, you know, really kind of says how much he loves him, but he understands that he needs to play football consistently and get in the first team and stuff like that. Or do you just think there is no communication whatsoever and it's just like the club have said you're going out on loan, so you're going out on loan, bro?
I think it's the club. It probably comes from the club. But I bet also he's looking at him going, you might not even be here in 4 months, you smelly prick. So, yeah. You know, I'm going to take my haircut and go back to Seville. Interesting that Paratici talks about Udogie. I think that's the way you pronounce it, Udogie. And they've been watching him. Obviously, they've been watching him every game. We've signed him, and he plays for Udinese. And they've been well impressed, and he's ready for first team football next season. Given the fact that our left hand side is a problem, not Perisic isn't a problem. Sessegnon's form is an issue. But having a player who they think is ready and can come into that, we essentially have two new wing backs, and you know Conte's system is sort of so that the wing backs
reliant.
on both of those wing backs to have. Porro and Udogie, who has been absolutely tearing it up in Italy, that could be exciting next year. I know there's a lot of frustration out there, and this isn't. I'm not giving Enoch and Daniel Levy credit by saying this, but I feel quietly confident about what we're doing and how and where we're going. This isn't about. Like I'd much rather be in a situation where we're Chelsea and we're just buying shitloads of players who are ready right now, and maybe not. But I just feel like within the parameters of what Tottenham are, that this isn't, we're not in the worst position currently.
Need at least two centre backs though. Like, so you know, there's still a lot of work to go, but I'm happy to see like Udogie come in. I mean, I've been working tirelessly to try and fit a song for Udogie into You Are My Destiny, so that's really taking up most of my time. I'm actually turning down gigs because I'm like, you are my destiny, you are Udogie. It doesn't work, but there's got to be a song there.
There's something there. There's definitely something there.
Because his name is Destiny, or I don't know any other song with Destiny in it. To be honest, Destiny's Child. Did they ever sing a song about themselves? No. I don't know, but I, from what I can see in Italy, like he's tearing up, and like you said, Cesc just unfortunately just hasn't been a player that we hoped that we had signed, and at times have shown small bits of promise, but it's never really materialised. And I'm ready to offload him really, and I'd have Perisic in for another year. And then Udogie, and then kind of swap him about. And I think Perisic has been a great signing, to be honest.
Yeah, indeed.
Just because of his versatility and his the delivery.
I missed a question that I put in the running order from Fear Gun Nutter. It says, can you rank your top five Spurs right backs of all time, but you can't include Kyle Walker? Five? Like, five mental.
Stephen Carr?
Yeah, Stephen right. Carr.
Stephen Carr's in there. Pedro Porro's in there.
What about Chorluka?
Yep, he's in there.
Adrian Chorluka.
What about what about Dean Austin? Does he get in?
What, Philip Ifill. Philip, you remember Philip Ifill when he had that one game against one Liverpool? Remember? I put him in there. Phil Ifill and against Liverpool, I thought, this is the kid, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember him. So that's four. Give me another right back.
Would you say Aurier?
He'd have to be in there.
No, Trippier would be over Aurier.
Trippier.
So, let's do it in order. So Trippier, number one.
Number one.
Yeah, I would say Tripp's number one.
All right, number two would be Chorluka.
I can't even remember who we said now. Carr, man. Like that banger Carr against United. Great.
All right, Stephen Carr, number United. Two. Yeah. Stephen Carr, Chorluka, number three. It's Philip Ifill. And Dean Austin. That's how bad we've been in the
There must have been a right back in the... Alan Hutton. No.
Alan Hutton.
Oh, hot dog.
Remember we kept on trying to sign him from Rangers, and I was like, and I had my mate was a Rangers fan. I was like, what's he like? And he's like, yeah, never go to Tottenham. And then he came, I was like, yeah. And then he was shit.
He won a trophy on his third appearance for Spurs.
Did he?
Yeah, Ramos, we won the League Cup against Chelsea. And what fucking, like, how outrageous is it that Newcastle could well win a League Cup? And they've had like money for what, 10 months, and they're going to win a cup before we do. It's fucking ridiculous. On the money situation, yeah, it is football.
Yeah,
South African tourism have agreed to pay Tottenham a sum of £42.5 million to be a sleeve sponsor. I think it is. Or maybe it's some sort of fucking sponsor. No, actually,
I think it is sleeve.
Yeah, no, because cinches.
Not two sleeves though, no.
Yeah, it's two sleeves. Yeah.
But this is—I picked this up on the internet earlier.
What nobody knows is it's one of those tattoo sleeves that you can buy, and it's just got loads of shit about South Africa all up the arm, and everyone has to wear short sleeve like tops.
I'm absolutely fucking fuming with South Africa at the moment because orcas have moved in and all the great whites have disappeared. And if great white sharks, you can no longer see great whites in the sea off of Cape Town because fucking orcas.
Really?
Yeah, they've all run away because the orcas turned up.
Fuck it.
And Flav is fuming with South Africa because the orcas have moved in. You know, like South Africa going, come on, move to South Africa.
Yeah, they fucking sorted the apartheid out, but they can't fucking sort this out. I had a dream. My dream, my bucket list is to go to South Africa and cave dive.
Do you know, I was in South Africa doing a tour about 4 or 5 years ago, and I didn't do the cage dive because my girlfriend at the time was like, no, I want to do that with you one day, we're going to do it together. And then we like broke up like a year afterwards, and I went all the way to South Africa. I just got drunk every day, and I didn't do any, and I fucking regret it, and now I can't because orcas have moved in. I didn't even know.
I can't break down who's at fault there. Is it you getting drunk every day, your missus breaking up with you, the orcas, what is it?
Well, I went to a sex party behind her back. So brilliant. That was what done it.
But all this,
that was the catalyst of all of this. So
but fundamentally, it's fucking killer whales.
I don't know why, but those two words are quite funny. Sex party. Like, what happens at a sex party?
I'd love to, Rick. Do you what? Like, is like right now, like in your brain, is it the person that you are right now?
Yeah.
If you and your wife could go to a sex party, would you want to? And what would be going through your brain if you did?
So what, would we get involved or we just there to like we had clipboard?
No.
just seeing what's going on.
I just think if you're just watching, well, you don't have to get involved. Like would you get involved, Rick?
Like you know when you're on a school trip and you're standing by the road and you have to mark how many red cars come along and how many yellows. But this time at a sex party, what positions are going down?
How many blowjobs?
Yeah, exactly. How many I'd like to do that job, just to be the tallies man and just taking notes and stuff. That'd be good.
Would you have a high vis on?
If it was my high vis on,
yeah.
You need a bit of authority in those situations.
Yeah. I respect men who are comfortable watching their missus getting rogered. I respect those. I couldn't do it.
Even if I have a dream that happens, I get up and I'm angry with my missus, yeah.
No, I like the idea of it, but then I often will venture into porn where she comes back home after being with another man, but I would never do that.
That's quite a niche porn. Like, so women that come back. What's it called?
Sloppy seconds. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant.
This is old school fighting cock. This is
just exploring each other's minds. That's all. Just on the back to the running order, South African tourism. They're going to give us £42 million, £0.5 million. It's been reported in South Africa that SA Tourism would receive kit branding, interview backdrop branding, match day advertising, partnership announcements, training camps in South Africa, and free access to tickets and stadium hospitality. The deal, which has reportedly been in the works for 6 years, would still need to be approved by the South African Tourism Ministry and receive approval from the National Treasury. They've it's kicking off over there about this. They're saying, oh, you should put money into grassroots sports. That would be better, but I mean, it's like sale and return. Like, it's, there's value to being sponsored. Just give us your fucking money. I don't know what's going on.
Give us your money.
And you know what? And at the end of the day, whether we get it or not, it will ultimately be better than have Visit Rwanda on your fucking sleeve. So fuck them.
Well,
down the road got Visit Rwanda, which is, with the grand scheme of things and the Rwanda thing, it just feels like it just sums them up as a club.
So the president of Rwanda is like, or someone over there in an important position, he's like a massive Arsenal fan, and he was tweeting Arteta out a couple of years ago. He's like, tweeting Arteta out, get him out. And they've got Visit Rwanda on their... they didn't get any fucking grief. Anyway, Zeus, Conte's he's ill, isn't he? He's poorly.
I had trouble trying to read what was wrong with him. Like, what does anyone know?
Gallbladder.
Gallbladder removed.
Was it gallbladder, was it?
Yeah, get rid of it. That's what they said. Zeus, he sends a question. Would you give Conte your gallbladder if it means that we win the FA Cup? Dave, would you go through a medical procedure where they removed your gallbladder? And I'm not sure what the gallbladder even does. I would sacrifice your gallbladder for an FA Cup.
Sacrifice my gallbladder. I'd sacrifice my testicle for an FA Cup.
That's big.
We're not the big one.
The little one.
But I'm desperate. I've never seen us win the FA Cup. I was born in September 91. I've never seen it with my eyes.
Is that right?
My eyes have seen the glory. My eyes have seen the River Worthington Cup.
Yeah. You're not allowed to see mine eyes have seen the glory of the cups a while. Like, you've seen fuck all, Dave.
You were born in 91, shit, man.
September 91, so I was in the womb when won the FA Cup in May 1, 1991. So
not only did Spurs win the FA Cup that year, you were born.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it went downhill after that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it's all fucked. Conte's probably going to be back for the Leicester game. He's going to be in the stadium against Man City, apparently, and Stellini is going to take charge. There's no issue there, boys. Is there the fact that he's not there to manage the players? They know what he would say. They know his system. They know what he wants from each of the players, and Stellini knows all of those things as well. Like, if anything, this is a catalyst for Tottenham to play well, to do this for Conte. Is there any truth in that, Rick?
Yeah, there would be. Obviously, they'd want to do it for their manager. And I can imagine it's like it is a bit of a shock to the system, because like when I see it pop up on Twitter, like Conte's gone in for an emergency op and he's gone.
I was like, for fuck's sake! Yeah. Can we not just have a fucking normal
week?
We just
have one day. We just have one day.
One fucking day.
About Tottenham being Tottenham. Please. But yeah, they must have been a bit worried about it. But you know what Conte's like. He is a workaholic. His little tentacles will be all over how they're going to play, how they're going to approach it, what they've been doing in training. And it's a kind of formality that Stellini will be taking it. But, I think they'll still do the job that they have been employed to do. It's not like they're going to go out there and we're going to be lining up 4-4-2. Stellini's like, no, he's not here. Yeah. I'm the captain. I'm the captain now.
I'm the
just
captain.
Rips the rules up. Like, fuck this, I'm having. This is my chance to shine.
Just looks at Harry Kane and went, you're my wife now. how do you feel about the City game in general, Dave?
I was asked this on Hometown Glory the other night, and I don't know, because it's like, you know, you can draw on the result, the game that opened up on what, 3 weeks ago, something like that. And that was a weird one, weren't it? Because you went in before the game and you was like, I don't know, you could make an excuse for the loss, but then you go 2-0 up and you're like, fucking come on. And then I don't know, it's shit, because once the whistle goes, I want Tottenham to win always, you know. But also, I loathe the thought of the end of the season outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's fucking horrible. It's like going to a sex party with your wife, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. It's exactly like that. You know what I mean?
And you want to take part. You want to compete, but then she's getting rowed, and you're like, oh,
yeah. And what if?
I wish I'd never come. Exactly. I want to get out of here. Get out of my missus and let's get out of here. sick of seeing my missus getting done. Sick of it. Get me out of here. That's what it's like. Playing Man City right now, when you know that we need them to win and to prevent Arsenal. It's even like the hope of preventing Arsenal to win the league is like watching your missus getting rowed by someone who's bigger and stronger than you.
Yeah, and she's enjoying it far too much.
Yeah,
isn't it? She's like, not. She stopped looking you in the eye after 2 minutes. She's, you know, it was meant to be for us, and now it's for her. Yeah,
now she's lost in it.
Yeah, now she's lost in it. Yeah,
and then you just jump on the bed, sort of flailing, scratching arms, like, please stop. Yeah, that's what this is. What an Arsenal fucking title challenge does.
Oh, dear me.
Anyway, we've got a couple more questions here. 1991 Semi, he asks, name a manager that with these players and under this board could do a better job than Conte. Pochettino? I mean, did he do more with less?
It's a good question.
I guess I don't know what the context or where this guy's coming from, but I'd imagine he's saying that we need to back Conte and he is the best man for the job. Do you think he is the best man for the job, Rick? It should, like, do you trust in him in the way you did 7 or 8 months ago?
Yeah, I do. I think that for the managers that are out there at the moment, for where we want to be and what we want to do, I think he is the right manager. And I do have trust in him. You know, he's been to other clubs, he's done it before, he is a proven winner. And just the way that players and people around the club speak about him, how he's changed the mentality and changed things completely through Tottenham already. So I do think he can do it. I'm just interested to see that if we actually give him, you know, the wing backs that are integral to his game plan, if we give him the wing backs that he actually wants and that works, where do we go from there? If we get the midfielder that he wants, if we get that centre back on the left side that he so wants, then I kind of think we'll be up the other end challenging. And I still have complete and utter trust, because if I look around, I don't know who else I would have as manager. Like, there is the nostalgia of Poch, and during that time going to watch Tottenham and even watching us play, not even just the kind of that bubble of love that was going around for the team, for the manager, for everything to do with the club, really. It was a fantastic time. But it's kind of hard to I don't know if I want to go back to that, because I don't like going back. I just want to go forward. And it's, although at that short period, it feels comfortable and it's that nostalgia and the memories, it's a different time. So I don't know if Poch would be the right person to pick up the squad and do better than what Conte is doing. He might well do. And then if I look further out, like Tuchel, would he come in? I hate him. I absolutely hate him, and I don't want him anywhere near our club. So who else is there? Who else is going to get in?
Conte all the way for me. Yeah. Dave, you got anything else?
Yeah, I just echo what Ricky said. I like, sometimes after a bad result, and then Conte has one of these kind of like, you know, little meltdowns to the media after the game, and you just lust for Poch a little bit, and I think that's normal, because you think he was that cuddly dad, and now you've got this bipolar stepdad. And you're like, one day it's great with him, and then the next day you're like, you're sitting silent at the dinner table because you don't want to be out of place because he's going to scream in your face. And it's a bit like that. So you like lust for dad, but then you remember that dad ran off with the fucking cleaner.
Yeah.
And dad's not all good. And there was a lot of papering over the cracks with dad. And so there are two. Again, with Tuchel, he's a bit of a twat, but he's got a good CV. My one bugbear with Conte is sometimes games of recent as well, I've been screaming for another man in midfield. Absolutely, like, screaming off the hilltops for another man in midfield. Everybody can see it. We're being overrun in midfield, and he refuses to change his system. And that gets on my nerves. But doesn't mean that he's not the man for the job.
Me too, Dave. Like, what is it? Like us as fans, we see that, and we're like, we need an extra man in midfield. We are being run ragged. Like against Arsenal is a key match where I'm just like, fuck me. We're being outplayed there. We need to get an extra body in there, but he doesn't see it. Or in other games, is it because he has such belief in his system? Is it because, I don't know. I never understand it, and it's probably not to do just with Conte. There have been many other managers where we're screaming about how things should be played and formations or whatever. But I just don't get it sometimes, where we, you know, collectively 60,000 people in the stadium are saying, like, you know, we need an extra man there. We're being overrun there. There's a lot of space there. But Conte is the master tactician with trophies and medals all around him. And he's like, nah, we don't. We're just going to stick with the two. What is that?
I don't know. Maybe just like we have to put it to that, to the play, the position where, like, he knows more, and so if he,
I don't know, mate, because I sit row 14 and I've got a very good view in that south stand, so I can see stuff, mate. So
yeah,
you know.
No, I appreciate you can, and then there are many around you, and I've sat next to you, and I've experienced the what you experience week in, week out, and there's a couple of individuals around your area that do know a lot. And
yeah. For about five minutes, I almost became the Crawley Town interim manager, and like, honestly, the guy was considered, like, I was at a do with the owner of Crawley Town. He just sacked the manager, and I was about five beers deep, and I was trying to convince him that I could do a job because he's American, and all you need to do to be an interim manager is be a UK citizen.
Okay.
And he was like, it could be a good publicity stunt and get a lot of like traction. So I almost become Crawley Town manager for like 5 minutes.
Right.
So if anyone, so I can tell you as someone that, you know, almost managed a professional football club.
But you have done a good job.
Well, you know, I would have put my arm around people, do you know what I mean? And just, you know, is it, like, got the best out of them.
Alex from Bristol, he said the other day on the podcast, and I'm still not sure, because I was with him on Saturday, went to the boxing in London. And but the Paterby Evan Yard, and he was maintaining to that, like, on that evening, like, that he could make Spurs a top four club this season, just on his own, just him. And I'm starting to believe that he believes it. But if he doesn't, and this is a troll, I love him for it. But I think that he might believe it in himself. Anyway,
do you remember the passion?
Passion update, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's two, wasn't
there? Remember those, and then now ask yourself if he could get Tottenham in the top four, right?
I mean, I know he wouldn't. We've got a question here from Level-Headed Spurs. The Spurs have a 62,000 capacity stadium and a stand that holds 17,500 people. What's needed to be done to improve the atmosphere at the stadium? We've built a fortress, but what needs to be done to make it feel like it? We can't answer this question.
Good question.
It is a great question.
That comes off the top of your head is the away fans need to be closer to the one tier. I don't know.
That's a massive thing that I've experienced. Back in the day, like Park Lane, like three quarters was Tottenham, and then that little quarter was the away fans. If the away fans could somehow be relocated towards the South Stand, that would be a hell of a lot better for
the cop end at Liverpool. Is nowhere near the away fans. The opposite side.
Yeah, that's right. But I still want to have the away fans close so I can bounce up and down on my toes and shout stuff.
That would help.
Rascals.
You bloody bastards.
It's hard. It's kind of like having like-minded fans that want to sit together in specific areas of that South Stand would be good if you were able to, that the mobility of, you know, I've got my season tickets next to my dad, but, you know, that's, I'm always anchored to that seat. I can't move anywhere else or be anywhere else. So it's hard. Like if Flav, if you got if you got a ticket for the game, me coming to sit with you, it would be nigh on impossible to do.
Yeah,
those type of things. Like everyone always talks about a drum. I literally saw a poll today, I think, or yesterday, about would it improve the atmosphere. I love the drum. Yeah, I love the Spurs drum. Yeah, I love it. Absolutely, it does just get the fans singing and. All the flags that have been bought for the South Stand, yeah, it doesn't make a noise, but for visually, it does add to the layers of the atmosphere. So I totally agree. I think the atmosphere could and should be better, and that single tier stand that was built as the wall of sound. There are different things that I think as a club that they should try and look to do.
In terms of that that poll that you just mentioned, that was from Return to the Shelf.
Yes, that was it.
He's on Twitter. You can follow him @side_shelf. And he's working. He's actually having conversations with the club about what is the best way to create a section of the South Stand that generates support and people are singing. Kind of what we were trying to do with 1882 way back in the day.
With that, you know, the Twitter account you just mentioned, there's a couple more knocking about, and I see them trying to create a community of where people are taking part and, you know, taking ownership of trying to create an atmosphere and asking people what they can do and getting support and stuff like that. Just got to say, if any of you guys are listening, keep on fucking going, man. You've got my full support. And
yeah.
If you can, increase it by 10%, it would be far, far better. So fair fucks to you guys.
So go follow at side underscore shelf. He's doing good stuff. He's talking to the club. He's canvassing opinion. He's working towards a situation where there may be a block inside the, or maybe several blocks inside the cop end, just to sort of generate some, atmosphere. And it'd be a wonderful thing. Just get behind him, get behind what he's doing. And if you get into the ground and you're around people that are singing, then they can join in and all that kind of stuff. Got a question, a couple more questions and we're done. CM0102 podcast. I'm on this podcast in next week. Did either of you play Championship Manager 0102?
Yeah.
You did?
No, I was 10.
That's fair. so this was the greatest ever edition of Championship Manager. And to this day, I still play it. Do you remember Tonto, Zola, Makuku?
Yes.
Mark Kerr in midfield?
I don't remember that.
David Pratton?
Yes, yeah, totally. Who is it I used to, I don't know if it was this game, but I was used to get a trump by Cherno Samba.
That is this game.
There was another geezer
as
well.
He was 16 at Millwall.
Mads Jorgensen, yeah. Or someone like that. Yeah,
that was a different version, I think. Version, but he was amazing, Mads Jorgensen.
Yeah.
So this is a version of the Championship Manager game that doing a podcast on, I can't wait to talk about this because this game was more than any other has dominated my adolescence and what's the opposite adolescence? Lessons.
Do you remember, there'd be times where you'd be playing it for hours and you're like, right, building up to the game, and you go to click play game for the simulation to start, and you're watching, it's 3:10 in the morning.
Yeah.
I got it in me to go for another? Yes, I have. Yeah, just one more game. One more season.
Anyway, go check it. They've only done a couple of podcasts. Bardi was on it already, so go and check out the guys. If it's at the Red One Pod. I don't know what that means. Red One. The Red One Pod. Is that? I don't know what that means. That's a bit arsenally. Anyway, we're going to be on there soon. Final question from Dale. He says, what's with Flav's love affair with big white men? Namely Dyer and Kiefer Moore. Bit Brexit. My best mate's small and brown.
Yeah. Less of the small.
I don't know why we're, that question's coming to us. But
do you like big white men?
Would you say I was a big white man, Rick?
No, I wouldn't. No,
because I get hit on in gay bars all the time as a bear.
Have you ever gone through with it?
Nah, I like the attention, innit? I have a little flirt. I remember I was in Amsterdam in this gay bar and I was dancing, slow dancing to Careless Whisper with this guy. And he goes in one ear, he goes, I know that you're straight. And I was like, thanks for respecting me, just having a laugh. And then he moved to my other ear and he went, I love fucking straight men. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
So you fucked it, mate. Why spoil it?
Yeah,
you should have said that's really strange because I love fucking gay guys.
Yeah, and then blew him in the toilet.
Who owns the power move in that? Who's the power top? I love fucking straight men. I love fucking straight guys. Who's more straight in that? I don't know.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah, right. There you go. But there you go. So at least I'm not a big white man, so you don't love me. That's great.
I mean, there's more to you than that, Dave.
I'm sure.
Anyway, one more punt for you.
Yeah, come down. It's about 10-minute walk from the square as well, so it's a really good location. And come down. And
is it easy to find locations in foreign cities? How do you do that?
Yeah, so that's Jimmy Fingers. You know, that done a quiz and that. He's my my partner on it, and he finds the locations usually. And we just go to people that already do comedy or do music, because they'll have like a good setup for it. And then the barrier is trying to get them to go, yeah, we're going to allow a load of English football fans in, because there's such a stigma of that. And once we know that, you know, because the people that come to our shows, we've done two shows, and the people that have come have really enjoyed it, but also they've been of a demographic sometimes that you know, they're just looking for something else to do. They're not looking to be in the square all day drinking and chucking cans. They're looking for just 2 hours away from that. And so just come down and share a laugh with us, share a beer. Let's talk about the good days, the bad days, and that Philip Eiffel performance, if you remember it. We'll talk about that.
Love Philip Eiffel. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Network.